Hello again. My sermon is a question, starts with a question, and I will repeat that question many times throughout the sermon. Please bear with me. The question is it more blessed to give than to receive? If I would ask you, do you know a Bible verse? Probably most of you would say emphatically, yes, of course we do. You would probably know a range of verses for a range of different situations in life, and you would be able to enrich the situation with something that Jesus had said or one of the prophets of the Old Testament. Now, if I would ask that in the general public, there would be, people would say probably yes, but not as many, there would be probably fewer who would know a verse, but a certain amount of verse probably everyone knows. Actually, there are many Bible verses which have found their way into daily language. People may use phrases without even knowing that they are from the Bible. Let's say, bite the dust, for instance. You know that expression. That comes from Psalm 72. A fly in the ointment comes from Ecclesiastes 10. Writing on the wall, obviously from our friend Daniel, isn't it? Many people use it without knowing even that Daniel was a prophet. And then there are expressions like scapegoat, the good Samaritan, and going the extra mile, which are all from the good book. There is a verse I would like to look at with you today, which is quite well known as well, which is the verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This sentence could perhaps have been used to teach children to have the right attitude towards giving. Not to be greedy, but to give, isn't it? But can I ask you, is it really better or blessed to give more, better or more blessed to give than to receive? Let's see. Can we agree that when a musician plays, that the musician is giving and the audience is receiving? Probably, isn't it? Pablo Casals was one of the most famous cello players of the world. Probably still is, even though he passed away in 1973. The story has it that he suffered from immense stage fear. So he was so frightened to walk onto stage that when he stood in the wings, someone had to push him out. He wouldn't leave himself throughout his entire life. What a horror. What a fear. But then when Pablo sat down and started playing, then the world of the listening people changed. Almost forever. So, can I ask you, was it better or more blessed for Casals to give or for the audience to receive? Similar things I experienced myself when I was stage manager in a theater, a professional little theater for many years ago. Actually, it was 3 years where I worked there, and I had the opportunity to see and follow actors, both famous and beginners. Actually, one actor said once, there are no little roles. There are only little actors. So some of them were children, elderly, up in the 80s. I saw how they prepared for their performances, how they learned their lines, their parts, how they learned the staging, how they put on their costume, before the performance, and then they stood in the wings ready to go on stage. What happens on stage may look effortless from the audience, almost like magic, but the work behind it is hard. Extreme concentration, stress, and a lot of sweat. Yeah. Speaking about that, I can remind you, you see, you need to realize that most of the costumes, you cannot wash them. Okay. No more words. Do you know what happens when the actor comes off stage after the final applause? No resting on laurels, no leisure life. No, no. First they have to remove the thick, smeared makeup, heavy. It doesn't really go away in the first wash. It's only the day after probably it goes really away, especially around the eyes. And then, of course, a shower and a clean-up. After that, most of the actors have... it takes hours and hours for them to get down to a resting calm so they can go to sleep. There are actors who can't sleep the nice night of the performance just because of the energy that they needed to perform. So, again, this is quite a different experience to those who are sitting in the audience and enjoy a performance. Can I ask you, please, again, is it really better or blessed to give than to receive? Another story. Please forgive me, it's something about myself. I consider myself a bit present blind. Present as in gifts. Many weeks before Christmas, that means now, I built up quite a substantial amount of anxiety. I want to give good presents. But with my rising anxiety, I tend to lose all my creativity to find something really nice, something fitting. It gets worse and worse by the week. Don't misunderstand me, I love to give. But I have those fears in myself. Let me take one thing, a secret really. I think I'm a bit scared to reveal my true self through my gifts. That something could be discovered about me which I don't like to be discovered. Let's say I would buy a nice garment for my darling wife. Let's say I knew the size. Because if I wouldn't know the size, that would be horrible, you see. To give too small or too big, you see, it's just, that's a mistake you cannot make as a husband. You cannot. You see, so either you know the size or you don't give a garment, you see, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Because too small or too... No, we don't even go there. Okay. Let's say I know it. Now I go into Marks and Spencer or even something nicer, something very nicer, much nicer, and buy a nice piece of clothing for my wife. I give her that present, and thereby I show her my taste. I show what I would like her to look, what I think she would like, really, isn't it? But what if she dislikes it? What if her friend, see, she has a very close girlfriend, you see, which they have been together since they were children, if that friend says, "Did he give you that?" I just feel myself so disclosed, so open, totally open and vulnerable by giving a gift of that kind. So I have never dared to do that. I've given jewelry. Well, jewelry is just... We don't give jewelry anyway. And I've given watch. Watch is nice. That is okay. But garments, I just don't touch. I just don't dare. It's just, yeah, maybe I should overcome it because my wife is not at all judgmental or no, she wouldn't. Anyway. So I cannot say I like to give Christmas presents. Most often it just turns into quite a puzzle for me. And yet I like to give. It's a conundrum. But let's leave that aside. Who else gives? Some of us, maybe many of us, have taken part in ingathering. I need to share another secret about myself. Many years ago, I loathed all those kind of charities which asked for money. I hated them. When people asked me for donations, either in person or by phone, I must admit I was not always nice to those people. Little did I know then that I would one day myself need help from such a charity because I had hardly any money for Christmas many years ago. So I was receiver of a Christmas food one year. So that was not easy for me, obviously. And little did I know then that I myself would later on hold on to an ingathering canister and go door to door. That was, I had just joined the Adventist Church in 2002, and that was the Adra ingathering in Iceland, 2003. I remember the first door, it was white. I knocked, it was sunshine, nice. I remembered my feeling after I had knocked, and I remembered my relief when no one was at home. Good. But then things started to roll, and just even a few hours later, ingathering became a very nice experience for me, and has done many times since. The last time I was ingathering, I smiled all the time, so my face was like fixed in a smile. Most people have been friendly, and those who were like I was in the past, they were not in the majority, and they didn't really matter to me. People have their days. Now, I was thinking again about this question, is it more blessed to give or to receive? I don't really know in ingathering, because there is a range of feelings. Some people love to give, and they say to me, where were you last year? I had collected money, but no one came. For them, it's a blessing to give. But then for me to receive, to see all these people who want to give, it's wonderful as well. So it's a bit ambiguous. Now, as I mentioned in the children's story, of course, we cannot speak about gifts, about giving, without mentioning the greatest gift that ever has been given, the life of Jesus. Jesus gave his life so we might receive eternal life, a gift that none of us deserves. And again, I would like to ask you, is it really better or blessed to give than to receive? It is obvious that this verse, which sounded so obvious at the beginning, might be a little more complicated. And now, of course, it's time to open the Bible. We are in chapter 20 of Acts, and it is Paul who speaks. He is on his third journey there, and on that journey, he stayed for 3 years in Ephesus with the church there. At that moment, he had decided to leave the church, the group, to keep on in his journey. And it was time to say farewell to his friends in Ephesus. And he did this in this wonderful speech which we have in Acts 20, which actually at the end people fell in tears of emotions because their stay together had been so wonderful. I read now again the words, Paul's words at the end of this speech. That is from the New Revised Standard Version, so it sounds slightly differently. And now I commend you to God and the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver and gold or clothing. You know for yourselves that I worked with my own hands to support myself and my companions. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's now find the passage Paul is referring to. Did you hear? He says the words of Jesus, who said, "Where might it be?" I searched and searched and searched. It's not nowhere in the Bible. You can't find it. Hang on. Is Paul then making up those words? Since we can't find the source of it, where does it come from? Let's go to John 21, at the very, very end of his gospel. So how does he conclude the account of Jesus in his gospel? Chapter 21, verses 24 and 25, just at the very, very end. This is what he says. He sounds almost desperate. He says, "This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them. And we know that this testimony is true. But there are so many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." It sounds as if John says, if only I could write more down, but that's it. More, there's no space for me to do more. The other of the writers of the gospel could, of course, have said the same. Obviously, everyone had to choose what to write about. We do that the same, obviously, when we write a postcard or when we write a letter or an email, we can never give a full account of what we want to write. It's always just an extract, isn't it? So many things happened and they had not been written down, but the most important things survived, and they are here. And we thank God for that, obviously. I guess Paul must have heard the telling of Jesus saying that. So this was something that was given by oral tradition, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. But what is the meaning of this, really? What does this mean? Paul gives us another hint about this. We find that in 2 Corinthians. And actually, that letter he wrote at a similar time as when he was in Ephesus leaving the group there. So the thought might have been in his mind, and then he wrote it to the Corinthians. That's actually in 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. He speaks about giving gifts in that chapter, and he says, "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." The context here is quite interesting. Paul prepares the group for a fundraiser, would we say nowadays. The money raised was reserved for a special task, specific task, and Paul reminds his audience to have the right mindset toward giving. A little further up, he speaks actually about that people should, the gift should come voluntarily and generously. His urging to do that seems to imply that people may not always be cheerful givers, that they need this reminder, please think about when you give. Give gladly, because God loves cheerful givers. So giving, after all, seems not to be so easy. But now I need to admit that I played your mind a bit. There is one word in this passage which I handled a bit freely. I deliberately manipulated its meaning by associating a specific word to it. I did this because I wanted to show you how important it is to take care to understand the proper meaning of key words. That word is blessed. The Greek word is makarios. Blessed. That rings a bell. Blessed are the Beatitudes, isn't it? There are 9 sentences in the Beatitude which start with blessed are. Let me give you 3 examples. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Another one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And the third one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus calls them blessed. But can I ask, what is good about being poor of spirit, or to mourn, or to persecute, to be persecuted? What's good about that? Okay, blessed, makarios, does not mean better, nicer, easier, more fun. Blessed has to do something with the future, not the moment, the future. So the present, things might be difficult, even gruesome, but one day that will change. That's a blessing. Let's now to use that insight to find a response to my question. Is it more blessed to receive, to give, than to receive? Pablo Casals suffered terribly. To step out on stage before his audience was his worst nightmare. But then he started to play and everything changed. He gave so abundantly that people in the audience fell into tears. So it's not always nice to be generous. It can be quite painful. The giver makes herself vulnerable. She shows emotions or even weaknesses. Be it with a musical performance, as is Casals, or a little present I'm trying to find for Christmas. Could it be that true generosity is not measurable in pounds sterling, but could it be that generosity is measured by how much you give of yourself in the gift, how vulnerable you make yourself through your gift? How does this then match with the £5 bill that goes into the Adra canister, or the £2 I give to the big issue saleswoman in Wokingham? Who guarantees that 100% of my donation go precisely to the right place. No one can do that. We give just in the faith that our gift will be used in a proper way, an appropriate way. Many people now even in the so-called richer countries stand in the rows to get food because they can't afford it. And this is, of course, particularly sad around Christmas. Sometimes I think about all those people queuing up, if they are really in need, all of them, or if there are some amongst them who just want free food. Just play the system. We know all these thoughts. Think about it. I then fear, of course, that those sums raised, so much work, are wasted on those who don't need it, really. And those who really are in need will then get nothing. Yes, it is quite sure that some of our donations will not reach the right destination. That's true. Some money might be used for alcohol rather than warm clothes, for luxury rather than essentials. And some people might get away with receiving donation without needing them. They might even rejoice and laugh about how well they managed to play someone poor. Yes, that's true. But let those prospects not deter us from giving. There will always be cheaters and scoffers. Do you remember how they mocked Jesus and laughed when he was on the cross? They mocked the one who gave us a gift so enormous that we cannot fully comprehend it. If I think about that I can say myself about this, if I think about my absurd little problem about Christmas gifts, which I revealed for you, I think about that, and then I say to myself, Manfred, stop feeling sorry for yourself about those things. No one has ever promised that it will be easy and simple. If you want to give presents, organize yourself. Start in summer. Start early. Then the stress will be much less. God loves a cheerful giver. And remember, grace, generosity, thankfulness are the most prominent attributes of a Christian. Yes, this may well come at a cost for us. Some people might even laugh at us. It might be hard at times. But I conclude now with the conviction, yes, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen.